Hello world. This is Stephen Francis, and you're listening to the Humble and Honest Podcast. Hold up. In today's episode, I am joined again with Eddie Williams. Eddie Williams was a pastor out in San Francisco and has an extreme passion for health and fitness in the Christian world. Today's episode, I'm going to be talking to him with some follow-up questions about that interview. So, if you have not heard that conversation, I highly recommend you check that episode out first. I'll put a link in the show notes so you can go to it directly. But if you have heard that episode, then you know all about his beliefs and some of his opinions about issues in regards to Christianity and health. And today's conversation is going to be great because not only am I getting a follow-up on some of these conversations, but also we talk about his new materials on Christian health and also how you can be healthy during the holiday season. This is a conversation I truly believe everyone is going to get something out of. So check it out now for yourself. My conversation with Eddie Williams. Eddie Williams, welcome back to the Humble and Honest Podcast.
Hey, man. Thank you so much for having me, Stephen. I appreciate it, man. It's glad to be back on.
Sir, I have no problem telling you the truth. Your episode was one of the most talked about in season two. Truly, a lot of people were both encouraged and challenged by the things that you said in that episode. And it definitely had a lot of people asking to watch some more of your videos, but also had a few people ask some questions about some of the things that you said. And I'd love to talk with you a little bit more about the first question that came to me was this: what do you say to the person that can't afford to buy healthy food?
That's really common. You know, I think a lot of people are always asking that question, you know, like, what, you know, I can't afford it. I can go to McDonald's. It's $6 for a number seven, you know, and so they think, man, there's just no chance I have the ability to eat, you know, in a God-honoring way when I just don't have the money. I think that's actually a real common misnomer. You know what I mean? Certainly in terms of bang for your buck calories, you can get a ton of calories from like a fast food restaurant. The second thing is you're going to have to weigh the cost-benefit analysis of those calories. So yes, you're satiated today with those calories, but what's the long-term health effects and ramifications? And so if you're playing the long game for your health, you're going to have to say, you know, it's not just the $5 today that has to matter. What has to matter is on the back end, you know, when I'm 55, 60 years old, 65 years old, what sort of prescriptions will I be paying for? Doctor bills, et cetera. All that's got to matter as well. So you have to weigh that in. And the third thing is, I actually don't think it's that expensive when you talk about going to the grocery store and eating around the edges of the grocery store. That's really a common thing, you know, right? If you go into the middle of the grocery store, you're going to get a lot of the box foods, a lot of the canned sodas. But if you shop around the edges, you're talking produce, right? You're talking your fruits and vegetables, and then you're talking your meats and things like that. So if you were to go in and say, hey, I'm going to go to the produce aisle, I'm going to get a couple sweet potatoes, that might cost you 80 cents, maybe a dollar. If I'm going to go get maybe, a pack of organic chicken, that might run you $7 or $8. And maybe I'm going to get rice or you can get those $5 bins of salad, you know, something like that. You can get those for $5 and those feed an entire family or more. So if you add up all of that, you're really talking about feeding a family of four for $15 to $20. And yeah, you're right. It's not a quarter pounder with cheese. So there's no commercial. There's no jingle. There's nothing like that. You're not going to get a big old thing of fries. You're not going to be able to play Monopoly with your French fry container and all that. But what you're going to get is a really nutritious meal, and you're going to have to learn how to cook it. So yes, it's less convenient, but you know, Jesus didn't run to McDonald's and he was homeless. So he figured out how to eat, and he had figured out how to eat in a healthy way. So I would say it is more difficult today because marketing tells you it's hard to eat healthy without going to Whole Paycheck or Whole Foods or whatever and buying some of the most expensive meat you can. But in reality, you can actually eat pretty affordably, especially if you're resourceful. And if you're eating things like chicken and rice and chicken and potatoes and pork chops or something like that, you can actually eat pretty reasonably cheap.
I like your approach to it. I think if you just know
what things to look for, then you can usually end up in a better place, not just financially, but also in a health perspective.
Absolutely. Well, and like I said, I mean, I think it's really important to weigh the long-term effects. You know, I think we do this with our monthly budgets as well as people. You know, we think about, hey, what is it going to cost me this month rather than what's it going to cost me over 36 months, right? With something like maybe a car payment. The same is true with, you know, the way you eat, or what is it going to cost? Maybe a gym membership is too expensive today, but what is the effects of not working out over the next 5 to 10 years going to cost you in doctor bills later? So that's another thing you have to weigh.
I think that's a really good point. Transitioning with the next question, because something that Christians do need to talk about more is accountability when it comes to health, for sure. But something that is also being talked about often in culture right now, in addition to health, is also fat shaming. And I'm curious what your feelings are about this, where it's kind of, okay, should we be celebrating somebody's body no matter what the size is? Should we have representation of people that aren't usually the typical ones that you see on magazines? And where's the balance in that? How can we both see each other in a way that is the image of God, but also have a level of accountability of perhaps you could be in a healthier place? How do you navigate that?
Yeah, I think that's probably a less of a physical question in terms of methodology and how you get thin, and what we're looking at, more of a spiritual question. You know, I think that's I think the Lord is looking upon what's inside, not what's outside. Now, certainly that doesn't mean bodily neglect. I mean, that's kind of what Ex Nihilo is all about, is it's not about bodily neglect, it's about stewardship. But certainly eating in a God-honoring way and living to the best of your abilities might not result in six-pack abs, and it might not result in, you know, a bikini body or something like that. You know, maybe that's not God's design. You know, God's design isn't necessarily that we all look exactly the same with some sort of like ripped six-pack abs, but it's that we do the best we can to honor God with our bodies. And that certainly will mean we will look much better than if we didn't. Of course, it means that. Now, in regards to kind of like exactly, you know, should we be honoring sort of this obesity culture, right? You know, you've seen recently Vanity Fair has had, you know, morbidly obese women on the cover of their magazines. Is this something we should celebrate? I absolutely don't believe so. You know, I think that's when someone is not honoring God with their body, but they're eating the glory themselves, and as a result, they're becoming morbidly obese. I mean, I wouldn't celebrate idolatry. That's essentially what I would consider that to be. Now, hear me. I'm not saying that, hey, if someone's overweight, that means that they're an idolater. That's not what I mean. Certainly, there are hormone issues. You often hear thyroid as an issue, or, you know, it could be testosterone or estrogen issues, progesterone. These are all like common. You know, if your hormones get out of whack, you can certainly put on more weight much easier. That's totally true. And some people that are saying, hey, you know, you should be skinnier, really have genetics that put them in a category where they probably couldn't gain weight if they wanted to. So that's not fair either. I would venture to say that what we should do is forget what the culture is saying about us, care only what Jesus is saying about us, honor and worship God with our bodies. And whatever we look like, that's what we look like. Because God's not looking on the outward, he's looking on what's inside. So that's my response. I can get into any of the nuances you want, Stephen. You tell me.
Man, I really love that answer. And that's actually very freeing to hear something like that. So for you, would you say then that the number on the scale matters? Should we be ruled by the weight that we hold? Well, how do you even view the scale from a Christian perspective? I'm curious.
Oh, that's a great question. You know, I don't think we should be ruled by anything other than Jesus. So even if it comes to physics, so if the scale says X number and we're shooting for an X number, use the scale as a guideline, just purely a guideline, a point of reference. Now, what you can't do is compare that number to anybody else's. Comparison is going to produce frustration. It's going to produce anger. It's going to produce jealousy and envy. You do not want to use that as comparison. But what you can do is use that as a point of reference to see how you're doing. I would recommend something more than the scale. I would say go get a body fat test. DEXA body scan is a really good body fat test. It's probably the most accurate. It's going to tell you your body fat. It's also going to tell you your bone density, your organ weight, all of these different things. So you're going to actually get to see the full picture. Because what someone who maybe is really, maybe let's call them a hard gainer, someone who just doesn't gain weight really easily, they might perceive, hey, man, I'm in really good shape. I'm thin, you know, and they may get a DEXA body scan and find out they have significantly more body fat than they actually should. And perhaps they've been overeating because they've been taking advantage of their genetics. And so maybe they haven't been honoring God with their body. So I would say if you're going to look for a point of reference, do something that's really highly accurate. And that's probably a DEXA body scan. You can get those on Groupon super cheap. A scale is helpful at times, but again, it causes so many things from eating disorders to depression and anxiety. Why put yourself in a situation like that? It's important, but it's not ultimate.
Another thing that I want to talk about is you definitely are someone that has your convictions and you're very clear on that. And a question that came from the episode that we had was, what about cheat days? Is that something that you promote? Should we constantly, you know, always be in a state of eating what is considered healthy? Do we ever get a chance to have a break? And if we do, what does that look like? I definitely am not just wanting to know because they asked that. This is one of my questions too. I'm curious.
No, absolutely. I mean, you know, I really don't like the phrase all things in moderation because I that's kind of a common kind of pushback against eating healthy. You know, I don't believe in that message. I mean, I don't think we have arsenic in moderation, right? There's certain things we probably shouldn't have in moderation. And just because a food happens to be food doesn't mean it's created equal and we should have it the same amount, right? We don't have cinnamon rolls the same amount as we should have, you know, broccoli. That's silly. We should have healthy things in moderation across the board, but we shouldn't be, you know, having Cinnamon Toast Crunch the same amount as we should be having, you know, pasture-raised eggs. Having said that, you know, it's important to enjoy your life. Like, God's not asking you to be some sort of calling you into some sort of spiritual asceticism for your entire life. He's not saying, hey, deny yourself fully. You know, we want to enjoy what the creation has, but there's some basic guidelines for that. One of the things when I'm cheating, I still want to get the most out of my food. And so I'm not going to go to let's say a Burger King or something like that, because I know that burger is disgusting. It's pumped with hormones. It's pumped with antibiotics. That bread is crossbred. The grain is destroyed. It's GMO'd. It's poison. But what I can do is I can make my own burger, and I could go get some grass-fed beef, get some really high quality cheese, and bake the bun yourself. Or even get a really high quality bun. And in fact, you're going to enjoy that so much more. So I think a cheat meal is warranted. A cheat day, you know, maybe probably less so, a full day. But certainly cheat meals are a great idea. You just got to do it right. You know, for instance, my daughter's birthday was pretty recently. And, you know, I'm not a birthday cake person, but we went to this really high quality bakery that does almond flour and coconut flour and makes their own, what's it called? The frosting, and it puts this all together. You know what I'm saying? And so I never have this sort of food. And so I'm going to eat something high quality. I'm not going to go to Safeway or, you know, Kroger's or whatever it is and buy, you know, the cheapest cake you can find and eat that, because you're going to feel terrible. Now, once you do have your cheat day, it's important to take note. If you've been eating like really well over the last, like, let's say, you know, 2 or 3 weeks or even a few months, and you haven't had any sugar or anything bad for a while, after you eat it, pay attention to how you feel. You're going to find that usually you feel pretty awful in the morning. It's going to feel like a hangover if you haven't had food in a long time. And you're going to be like, man, I have a headache. That's your body telling you that what you've been putting in it has been clean for a really long time. And your body doesn't want you to do that again. So you'll begin to have less and less cheat meals. If you can go to McDonald's or Burger King or Pizza Hut or whatever and eat it and wake up the next day and be fine, that's probably a sign your body's adjusted to eating that sort of food. And that's not something you want, right? So pay attention to how you're eating, pay attention to how you feel after, and have it every now and then after a long season. And you'll realize, hey man, maybe I don't think I want to have these as many as I used to.
That's good. So what is your frequency, for instance, on cheat meals or cheat days? Is it a once a week, you get a meal that you like, once a month? And sometimes I think a lot of people, especially because I remember you mentioned that you were on the keto diet, and I've done some version of that, and many other people. And sometimes they see like The Rock with like 20 donuts and 80 pizzas, and they think, all right, when I have a cheat day, that's what I'm going for. But to your point, that will really mess you up. What would you say then? How often do you have your cheat meal or cheat day?
I think a healthy rhythm is to kind of put stuff on the calendar. Like for me, I love getting stuff on the calendar, whether it's like a race or, you know, I don't do marathons, but people can do marathons or a CrossFit competition or whatever, whatever like athletic thing you find yourself to do, bike ride or whatever. If you put that on the calendar, that helps you kind of, you know, stay on track with your fitness. I also like to put on the calendar days where I know I'm going to be more lax. Like for instance, you know, the holidays are coming up. This is a great time to kind of get something on the calendar and say, you know what, the Christmas Eve and Christmas, man, I'm not going to go hog wild. I'm not going to go nuts, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to be lax. I'm going to relax. I'm going to have some of grandma's apple pie, going to have the yams. I'm going to have some of the food. And so what that means is for the several weeks leading up to that, I want to make sure I'm dialed in. I want to be really clean. I want to see if I can drop a pound or two on the way leading up to Christmas dinner, Christmas Day, or whatever it is, New Year's. So that way I've got some sort of functional space in my calories and in my diet so I can enjoy that freely. Then I'm also going to, what I like to do is I like to turn up my workouts leading up to those holidays. And you know what? There's nothing better than just waking up Christmas Day and knowing you got a nice little run in the morning and you put the work in for the couple weeks leading up, and then you can truly relax. But if you're already kind of on like the down slope of, man, I've been eating terrible. I feel like garbage. Man, if I eat this, it's just like, now you're setting yourself up for some mental issues going forward. So for me, it's not necessarily like a strict, rigid frequency. I think it's all about finding the dates on the calendar that you're going to celebrate. Like if you've got a trip coming up, man, for the next 2 months, I'm going to dial in. So for everyone, that's going to look different, but it should probably be spaced out. You know, it should be every Friday is the day you put on your calendar to eat. I think that's probably a bit much. The thing I'd say about The Rock too, obviously The Rock's cheat meals are epic. Like we all love The Rock's cheat meals. Like I would love to eat. Like the other day he made brioche bread, French toast, 4 inches thick, syrup, his tequila infused, or his whipped cream infused tequila or whatever it was, poured it all over. It was like unbelievable. I was like, that looked good. The Rock is more disciplined in his eating than just about anyone on the planet. So for all of us who want those epic cheat meals, you really do have to put the work in if you want to be able to afford the sort of cheat meals that The Rock has.
You released a video actually today, the time of this recording, that was basically like holiday weight survival kit, if you will. And I'm going to put a link in the show notes of this video clip. But can you just give us a couple other pointers that we could use? You already mentioned have a couple days where you know you're going to relax, and then also dial up a little bit the working out. What else do you think would be good during the holidays right now to be sure that we don't gain too much weight come January 2nd?
Yeah, well, you know, this is that time of the year, right, where all of us kind of put on some weight. And so what's helpful is if we can all kind of get the advantage over the people around us by, you know, deciding to be intentional this season, man, it's going to help come January 1st when we're all kind of doing our New Year's resolutions and, you know, trying to get in shape or work off some of the pie and the cake, right? So one of the things I mentioned earlier was picking and choosing your spots intentionally. Like what are those few meals, those few days where you're going to say, this is when I'm going to go in and enjoy myself, right? What are those times and days? That way you're going to have kind of some guardrails around the rest of your time. For instance, for a lot of people from like toward, if you include Halloween all the way up through, you know, New Year's, I mean, that's kind of like a 2-10 week stretch where people kind of just do whatever they want, especially in colder parts of the country, because everyone's wearing layers and jackets. That's probably too much. You know, that's 1/6 of the year, more than 1/6 of the year where you're just eating whatever you want. What would be helpful is to say, okay, Halloween, I'm going to eat X. This day, I've got a dinner, right? Leading up to Thanksgiving. Then on Thanksgiving, maybe the day after Thanksgiving, maybe a few days leading up to Christmas. So maybe you get 5, 6, or 7 days out of 10 weeks where you say, I'm going to enjoy X meal. If you can do that, you would really be saving yourself some trouble. And you're going to find your weight is down significantly at the end of the holidays because you've decided that for these days I'm going to eat. Because otherwise you find yourself watching holiday movies and eating popcorn and ice cream. And, you know, we all do it. We all get caught in these cycles. And so if you're actually looking to just try to make sure you're cutting weight, picking and choosing your spots is intentional. There is going to be key, and doing it intentionally, it'll be even more key. The second thing was doubling down your workouts, making sure you're getting your workouts in. I do CrossFit. I love my CrossFit gym because they always do some sort of like Turkey Day, you know, workout of the day, or Christmas Eve, right? Getting those workouts in on those crucial days you're going to eat a lot will save you significantly. The other thing I would say, do a lot of the cooking yourself. If some people just have grandmas and aunts and uncles that just won't let them in the kitchen, I get it. My family's not like that. They allow me to do the cooking. If I cook myself, I can skip a lot of like the breadcrumbs and the flour, and I can then cook some of the meals I like to cook. So I'll do like smashed sweet potatoes, all delicious. You can cook up your own foods so you can have them with less fat and less grease, less some of the junk oils that kind of get thrown in there. Making your own desserts, making sure there's a healthy option of dessert, like a stevia dessert, always really key. And a lot of people never taste the difference between some of the healthy stuff and some of the stuff that's not healthy. One of the other key things, I'll probably leave this as the last one, is find other ways to celebrate other than eating. Like the reason why we're looking towards Christmas is that like that we're celebrating the coming of the Messiah into the world, the fullness of time, right? That all of us get to celebrate. Now we're all free in this baby Jesus to live a life without sin. We're celebrating him. We don't only have to celebrate him by being gluttonous. I know that's kind of like the American way, but there's other ways to celebrate. Like for instance, me and my wife, we did a family hike one Christmas morning, one year, family bike ride, Thanksgiving, you can do they have Thanksgiving 5Ks and half marathons. There's other ways to celebrate than just eating. And then lastly, be kind to yourself. If you do go overboard, don't hate yourself. Don't condemn yourself. Don't look in the mirror and be disgusted. That's not the way Jesus looks at you. Be kind to yourself in this season, because the reason we celebrate Christmas and the reason we celebrate the holidays in general is because of grace. It's the grace that Jesus has given us. So make sure you're kind to yourself in that season.
Often people, once the new year shows up, is they're trying to do different activities, getting back into the gym. And a question that a lot of people had was, if I wanted to lose weight fast, if I wanted to see results sooner than later, and obviously all good things take time. Some people were curious, should I do cardio? Should I do a lot more running and biking? Or what about weightlift? Or perhaps I should be doing HIIT classes where it's a lot of burpees and things like that, which is pretty popular now. But I know that there's sometimes people that have issues with knees and stuff, and that type of exercise can be a little difficult. What is your answer to all of that? I'm very curious to know.
Well, I'd say, whatever you find to do, just work hard at it and do it well, and protect and do it in a way you're not going to get injured. You know, so many people start up exercises programs and they find stuff online or trying to copy some guy on Instagram, and they end up just getting hurt. And that's why you get all the injuries. So you're going to have, whatever you do, especially as you're getting older, you want to do it in a healthy way and do it consistently and do what you like and what's exciting for you. Because if you don't like it, let me pause. I will say, you might not like it at first, but if you don't like it long term, then maybe you should try something else and do something that's actually helpful for you. And when it comes to injuries, I think injury prevention is really important too. You know, you're going to be doing some foam roller, trying to get working those muscles out and working out those imbalances, because eventually you do have to do body maintenance. Your body will not just function properly forever. You do have to maintain it, do stretching, a proper warm up and all that, whatever you find to do. That being said, you know, what burns the most calories the fastest? There's no debate that high intensity interval training burns get is your most bang for your buck, because it's short, typically shorter, and it's intense. And anaerobic training burns calories after you're done working out, whereas aerobic training burns calories while you're doing it. It burns calories slow, and it's and you're done burning calories once you're finished. So if you want the most bang for your buck, high intensity interval training, something like CrossFit WADS, which I can get into CrossFit in a second, is really, really helpful. Something like jogging, a lot of people enjoy jogging. That's totally fine. I've done some aerobic jogging before and running. I enjoy it. I use the Nike app. I think it's cool. I will say running, pounding the pavement with your knees is, and your Achilles tendons and your muscles, it's going to require a lot of maintenance to get through that. Your bang for your buck calories won't be there. It'll take you a long time to burn a little bit amount of calories. And then you're done burning calories when you'd finish with the run. But if you were to do something like CrossFit I do because there's a strength component to it at first. They usually work on some sort of muscle group. So you might be doing squats or cleans or deadlifts, something with your hamstrings. And so you'll get that in first. And then afterwards, you get something called the workout of the day or the WOD. Now the WOD is the high, that's the HIIT. That's where the high intensity interval training comes in. So you might be doing something like pull-ups or kettlebell swings or wall ball, which is like squatting with a medicine ball. And it's just really fast. You're getting as much rounds as you can with good form. Then after you're done with that workout, it's short. You're going to be burning calories all day. Now you could incorporate something like sprinting into that. Sprinting is also anaerobic. That will help you. But I would say anything like that will be really helpful. Now, I didn't start off someone who did CrossFit. I played in the NFL, so I did lots of like pure lifting. I've done lots of pure conditioning, running, biking, jump rope. But I will say for someone who's got a busy schedule, if you just want to get something in that's really fast, it's really high quality, CrossFit really, really works. And CrossFit's not what it was 10 years ago. 10 years ago, coaches didn't know how to take care of people. People were getting injured. People were hurting their backs. You know, it was just way different than it is now. There's such a attention to detail on form. And if you join a CrossFit gym and you've never done one before, any good CrossFit gym is going to put you through a ramping process where they teach you the movements before you end up doing them. So you're not going to get tossed into the fire, not knowing what to do. Any good gym will not do that to you. They'll take good care of you at first, get you up to speed on all the movements and the form. So that way you're protecting your back, protecting your knees, et cetera, your shoulders, and then you go into the workout. So I would highly recommend that. If someone's looking for the bang for the buck and they want to lose weight quick, you dial in your diet and you jump in a CrossFit gym or something like that, or you're doing HIIT workouts in your own gym or even in your garage during, you know, lockdowns or whatever, that's going to be your biggest bang for the buck.
One of the things that we talked about in the first episode together was the need to be sure that we weren't just taking care of our bodies in the sense of food consumption, but also media consumption. And, you know, something that you've talked about on your show, your YouTube channel, is burnout. And I think there's a lot of people right now in this season of life that have that sense of burnout, whether it be because of issues with the pandemic, things that were already happening in their lives personally. And you've mentioned that you've dealt with this and you've recovered from it. What would you tell the person today that is maybe in a season of burnout? How do they get themselves out of burnout? And also, maybe someone feels like, all right, I could be on that route to getting burned out. How do they avoid that? Do you have any tips about that?
Yeah. You know, there's so many ways, you know, directions we can go when it comes to burnout. Like you mentioned, I've suffered from like legitimate burnout, stage 2 adrenal fatigue, adrenal exhaustion. So I went into the doctor because I wasn't able to sleep at the times. And when I did sleep, I'd wake up exhausted, trying to figure out, you know, like why don't I feel like a normal person trying to live off of coffee? Coffee stopped working for a while. I actually spent a season of 3 months laying on the couch just from full-blown adrenal exhaustion. It was just horrible. It was a horrible experience. My wife totally carried the load for me in that time, but it was just really, really hard to focus. For that person, you're going to have to figure out ways to be, one, first thing you have to do is be kind to yourself. If you're the person that's beating yourself up for being burnt out, that probably explains a lot about why you got to burnout in the first place, because you've overwhelmed yourself. You've put too many expectations on yourself and you've tried to be Superman. You know, you really have to, or Superwoman, you really have to discover your limitations and embrace who you are as a person And that requires embracing your limits. We are not created to be omnipotent, omnipresent beings. Social media has made us feel like we can be omnipotent and omnipresent. If you're a content creator online or for your job, you get the sense that you're able to just kind of produce as much as you can. You're trying to copy people, you know, like high name pastors or, you know, Tim Ferriss's, these big time bloggers, Lewis Howes. And you think, man, they're putting out blogs every day, podcasts every day, social media posts on every platform, perfectly tailored to that platform. I'll tell you what, you can't do that and neither can they. They've got teams of people that are helping them produce that amount of content. You will burn out and fry yourself. We are in this process of comparing ourselves to others, and that's why we're starting to burn ourselves out, because we're trying to keep up with people on social media. It's not possible, okay? Real human beings have limits. So as someone who's suffering from burnout, embrace your limits. If you need to sleep, sleep. If you need to rest, rest. Now, I understand that there are people that, you know, well, let's just call it, you know, people are lazy. I get that. This isn't a conversation for you. The conversation for you is different. But for the people that overwork, you've got to rest and you've got to understand, embrace your limits. That's huge. If you feel like you're on your way to burnout, I would say abandon the standard of production that the world is asking you to meet, and meet the standard of production that God's asking you to meet, which is far less because of Jesus. So you've got a few commands: take care of your family, work a job that causes you to do that, take care of the relationships in your life, go to church and take care of your relationship with the Lord, and then do like the next one or two things that you have that you can fit on your plate. Most people can probably fit like five things on their plate. The first four: God, marriage, if they have it, kids, if they have that, job, if they have that. And then they could probably fit like one, maybe two more things. So if you're single, you've got a little bit more space. If you're not, you don't have a ton of space to be Superman unless you've already got something full blown in motion. So yeah, you're going to have to abandon this sort of like work and hustle culture. Certainly hard work is very important. Like I'm a proponent of hard work and grinding and getting your work done, but part of the ex nihilo is listening to the way God has created you. If God's telling you to slow down, you need to slow down and not be worried about what, you know, Susie on, you know, Snapchat or Instagram or TikTok thinks about your post frequency. So you have to be very careful. Then the most practical thing I could tell you to do is go to a naturopath, a functional medicine doctor, get your blood work done, get a salivary hormone test done, and figure out. And by the way, blood work isn't very expensive. Usually your insurance will cover most blood work. You just need a doctor to get the right blood panel done. If you go to a your primary care doctor, they're not going to test you for anything unless you beg them. And even then, they're not going to know how to assess it the way like a functional medicine doctor can. A white lab coat kind of primary care doctor is going to focus on what keeps you alive. A functional medicine doctor will focus in on what is optimal for you. So go to a doctor, get a full blood panel done, get your liver checked, get your hormones checked, your testosterone, your estrogen, your thyroid, and then work with a doctor to get it optimized through proper diet and supplementation, and stop relying on like Red Bulls to get you through your day. That's what I would say.
Man, that was very powerful and wise. Thank you for that. So one of my last few questions that I have for you, something I'm really excited actually for you, is this new Christian health program that you have just released. And I actually plan on being one of the people that takes advantage of this service of yours. So I'd love for you just to tell everybody what it is and why it's important and how they can get it for themselves.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Stephen. So the Healthy Believer Blueprint is a course I put together through Teachable that you can get on my website. And the reason why I did it was really I was trying to meet a need that I saw, right? So like I started doing Ex Nihilo, the YouTube channel, just as a way to like answer questions that some friends had. And so people began asking questions either like in the comment section or on Facebook or Instagram or whatever it is. And so I thought, man, wouldn't it be nice to have like a total platform available for someone who's like, you know what? I want to get healthy. I'm a believer, but I want to do it in a God-honoring way. I don't want to do it in an unhealthy way that I might see on Instagram or, you know, whatever it is. And so how do I do that? And then how do I also reconcile physical health with my faith? Like, is that even possible? Is physical health biblical? Is even being trying to be in shape like a good thing? Like, is that even a spiritually good thing? So I created the Healthy Believer Blueprint. And basically what it is a, it's a total course. It's, you know, 10 to 14 hours of content, walking somebody through the beginning. So here's the biblical worldview. Here's why, you know, we as Christians need to be healthy. And then coming out of that, how have we actually destroyed a lot of the mechanisms for being healthy, like our food quality, you know, like our, like a big agriculture, big pharma, and how do we kind of circumvent the kind of fall of man, the result of our corruption of our food supply from sin, and also from, you know, big agriculture and big pharma. How do we circumvent that and try to eat food as close to the way God is eating it as possible? So in the course, I walk through everything from protein to fats to carbohydrates to sugars to vegetables to oils, everything, supplements. And I walk through all of the ways we've corrupted all of those foods. I tell you all the foods to avoid. And then I give you a giant, you know, essentially comprehensive list on everything you should eat. Provide some food for some food journals and some food plans for people, so that way they're able to get a kind of a, like a jump start on how to do that. And then coming out of the food piece, we walk into some of the movement, why we should be moving, how do we sleep better? How do I stay lean year round without like being overly obsessed and focused and being, you know, idolatrous in another way, right? So there's one way to be idolatrous is to just be a glutton. So, and then there's another way is to just be overly obsessed and to be vain in regards to our health. So how do I avoid that trap as well? So then I go into how to sleep better, the practical tips for that, you know, the morning routine, how to dial that in. What are some of the practical prayer and meditation things we can do to get our mind right? How to deal with stress. And then I've got a few bonuses in there as well. It's really, really comprehensive. I think someone coming out of that's going to pretty much know how to do everything. The cool part about the course is you get access to me. So if you have questions and things like that, I'll be there to help you with it as well. So, and then I'm also going to include a bunch of PDFs in there. There's some different supplements, guides. I put all the links for your supplements. I put together a full list of all the supplements anybody should take. And I'm not talking about like, you know, sometimes when people hear supplements, they think of steroids and like all these ridiculous things. I'm actually talking about like, you know, vitamins and minerals that every person should take. And I'll throw links for Amazon in there so you get the cheapest price. So it's really, really comprehensive. And so far, like the response has been very surprising and really, really cool to see. So I'm thankful for the opportunity to share that because I think it will help a lot of people.
Well, congratulations on this. I think it's so great. And I definitely am excited to use it in my own life. And I encourage all the listeners to do it as well. Eddie Williams, thank you so much for this conversation, sir.
Steven, honored to be on the Humble and Honest podcast again, man. Thank you so much.
And there you have it, my conversation with Eddie Williams. Eddie, thank you so much for being on the podcast again. And I am so excited for all of the things that you are promoting and pursuing. And I hope that all of you listening will also be participants in what Eddie is doing as well. I promise not only will you find better health, but I even believe you will grow in your faith. Guys, thank you again, and I hope you'll join me again on the next episode of the Humble and Honest Podcast.